In all my years of fishing, there's only really been one time that I can remember where I didn't feel safe while I was out on the water. It was several years ago, fishing on Lake Superior, but down by Washburn, Wisconsin. And Dad and I were fishing about 3 miles or so from the boat launch, but we were on the other side of a peninsula from the boat launch. So it was on this side and we were on this side, right? And it was a very breezy day, but we weren't overly concerned because the shoreline of that peninsula was protecting us from the large waves. But for some reason, probably because of the excitement of all the fish we were catching, we didn't consider the fact that the waves would be much larger once we rounded that point to go back to the boat launch. And I would say that the wind and waves that we encountered were higher and bigger than I would ever want to have to face again. I was rather panicked because getting back to the landing would require us to have to go forward directly into those big waves. They were standing between us and the boat launch. Now, of course, for people that are comfortable with and are familiar with the lake or the ocean in a storm, you actually want to be going directly into the waves if you're in a storm, but it's easier said than done when you're the one in the boat. My dad, however, he wasn't concerned because he has a lot more experience on the water than I do, and he knew from experience that these waves, while they were challenging, they were not life-threatening to us, that we could navigate them, and that even though it would take a little extra time, we'd get back safely. He knew his boat really well. He knew the conditions well enough to know that we were still safe. However, even though he tried to tell me this while we were making our way back, his reassurance didn't help very much in those moments. However, when we finally made it back safely to shore, which we did, of course, I asked him, "Dad, at any point did you ever think we were in any kind of real danger?" And he calmly said, "No, never. I knew we were okay." Now, the disciples in the gospel faced kind of a similar dilemma. They had seen Jesus work miracles that were beyond explanation, and they knew that he was just not any ordinary man. He was much, much more. And yet, when they were legitimately frightened and panicked, in that moment of need, they found that their leader was sound asleep, seemingly oblivious to their plight. And so, as we heard, they wake him up, and they even guilt him for sleeping during their time of trial, and they say, "Teacher, do you not care that we are dying?" That's a pretty strong claim, right? In other words, aren't you going to do something? Are you listening? Are you paying attention? Why haven't you helped us? And as we heard, Jesus gets up and commands the wind and the sea to be still. And the wind dies immediately to nothing. And the waves instantly stop. Our gospel said that there was a great calm. Another translation of that same line says it was dead calm. So the water became like glass, flat and still. Do we realize the power that's just been exercised here? Because not only does Jesus control nature and weather patterns with a single word, but he actually suspends the laws of nature. Because even if the wind in a storm should suddenly die down, the waves are going to continue to roll, sometimes for hours, maybe even days. The inertia of those waves are going to keep them in motion. So I'd like for us to imagine just for a moment what it would be like to see in a single instant, in a flash, water being turned upside down by large waves and then suddenly calm. It's a miraculous, of course. And then Jesus lovingly chides his disciples. "Why are you terrified? Do you not yet have faith?" Oftentimes, when we face storms in our life, it can feel like God is asleep. Our prayers seem to be unanswered and unheard. We pray and we pray and we pray and we feel like we get no response. The storms, the trials that we face test our faith and can push us to the limit. We can feel unmoored, tossed about like a small boat on the waves, and we can wonder, where is God in all of this? Why won't he help me? Why is this happening? What's the purpose of it? Why won't he do something? In other words, Lord, do you not care that we are perishing? And in that moment, in the midst of the storm, as difficult as it is, friends, and it's difficult, we have an important choice to make. We can, on the one hand, give into the temptation to believe that God has somehow forgotten us, or that God doesn't really care about little me and my details in my life, or that God is pushing me just too hard. He's given me more than I can handle. He's not there for me. If we go down this road, it quickly leads to panic and then to despair, as we falsely believe, encouraged and prodded by the devil, of course, that God has not been faithful to me, that he's letting me sink. Or, on the other hand, we can choose to have faith, to trust, to surrender, to cooperate with God's grace, to rely on him, and to believe that even though it may seem, by all outward appearances and our own inward emotions, that God is distant, that he is indifferent to my problems, that he is asleep, unaware or unconcerned about my suffering, even though everything in my mind, in my life, in my emotions might seem to scream this message, in fact, the truth is different. The truth is, God is here. God is with me. God is present, strengthening me to hold on, supporting me from falling all the way down, keeping me afloat in the midst of the storm. The truth is that God is still in control in our world, in our country, in our lives, in this moment. God is in control, and nothing can ever change that. The transition that needs to happen, as genuinely difficult as it is, and it's very difficult oftentimes, but the transition that needs to happen, the transition that we need to make, is from fear to trust, from panic to peace, from despair to hope. We need to make the transition from demanding that God do something to change our circumstances to knowing and trusting that not only he can, but he will do something when he determines that the time is right. In other words, this gospel is challenging because it challenges us to let God be God, to let God be in control in our lives, and trusting that he actually is in control, even and especially when everything on the human level seems to tell us that he's not. So, the challenge is, don't wake him up. Trust that he will come to our aid when the time is right. Like I said, this is not easy. It's incredibly difficult because it requires that we just let go and surrender and allow God to have control in our lives. And that can be very, very hard to do, especially when we're facing severe trials or storms in our lives. But of course, it's the only way to lasting peace. It's the only way to lasting peace. God is in control. God will not let us down. God will never, ever forsake us or forget about us or leave us or ignore us. God is always with us at every moment of every day, and he can deliver us at any moment of any day. The question is, are we willing to let him do so on his timetable, not ours? Because despite what we think we know, God knows more. Despite what we think our threshold of endurance might be, God knows what it is. Despite what we think is best, God knows what is best. And when it seems like all is lost, is when God does his very best work. He is totally trustworthy, dear friends. Totally and completely trustworthy. So much so that even in the midst of the storms of life, we can say, God will help me. God will rescue me. God will save me when the time is right and at the right time. Until then, he will give me every grace I need to stand fast and to trust in him. And in the end, all of this, the suffering, the trial, the frustration, all of this, God can and will work for my good. In the face of the storm, instead of saying, God, where are you? We say, Jesus, I trust in you. And the more that we do that, the more we begin to realize, as I did on that day on Lake Superior, that in fact, I was safe all along.